Hello, and welcome to the very first episode of the After the Road podcast, where me and Megan and my 8-year-old Rottweiler Dorothy talk about all things The Bachelor and The Bachelorette. For this first episode, recap this latest season starring Chris Farmer. We're going to talk about why we love the show and thoughts on the upcoming season of The Bachelorette, and then do some performative art at the end. So my name is Molly Leitch. I'm a writer and a film critic. I write film reviews for the Missoula Independent. Otherwise, I'm in between jobs. I have a Master of Fine Arts from the University of Montana in creative writing. And my co-host is Megan Cruz. Why don't you introduce yourself, Megan?
Hi, Molly.
I just noticed that we have actually come to believe that the past bachelor was named Chris Farmer, when in fact he was just a farmer and that wasn't his last name, but I'm good to go with that. So, yeah, I'm Megan Cruz. I am a writer as well. I met Molly in the Big Sky State of Montana, where I also got my MFA. And I'm a writer and a teacher. Connoisseur of language arts, I would say. And I am also a big member of Bachelor Nation, thanks to Molly, who introduced me to Bachelor Nation.
That's right. We've been watching the last 2 seasons together. Oh, where are you talking to me from?
Oh, I am coming to you live. Well, not live, I guess, but coming to you podcast from San Francisco, from the Castro, where I have been to do some book reading. So
she's on a book tour. Which
I am. I'm on the scrappiest book tour in America, and it's great. So, I'm in San Francisco. Molly is up north.
I'm in Portland, Oregon, in a Motel 6, where I am currently in between jobs and looking for a job and hanging out with my dog. So
just one more thing that Molly and I have in common is our love of a seedy motel, though.
Dorothy, how old are you, Megan?
How old am I?
Yeah.
I was like, a woman shouldn't reveal her age. And I was like, I don't care. I'm 32.
Oh, shut up. I'm 32 and I'm 33. I only mentioned it because I was just thinking that we're at the cutoff for like being old enough to be on The Bachelor.
We were soulmates, and then I was going to say, Molly, I could really see myself falling in love with you, which is my favorite Bachelor line.
Megan, will you accept this rose?
I always accept the rose. Except once I brought you a carnation and you were kind of pissed off.
I was like, this is bullshit. This isn't a rose. This is like a filler flower. I was such a bitch about it. You're like, I brought you a flower.
And like, it's winter. The roses aren't even blooming.
Oh, man.
Okay. Oh, my gosh. Well, and do you want to introduce Dorothy?
Oh, yeah. Dorothy's my dog. She's the mascot of DogHatesFilm.com, which After the Rose is a production of DogHatesFilm.com, my film blog site. But she doesn't really care for films or TV or she's sleeping right now, so we'll see if she weighs in later.
Yeah, Dorothy cares for snoozing. Dorothy Parker, poet.
She's old.
Resident poet.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get started. I just want to kind of go over the premise of The Bachelor, Bachelorette, and why we are the staunch members of Bachelor Nation we are. The premise, if you haven't heard about it before, is just, one man or one woman gets a chance at love with 25 to 30 women or men who are pining to marry said bachelor or bachelorette. So each week, a predetermined number of people are eliminated at the final rose ceremony until three remain. They go into the fantasy suite or the honeymoon suite?
Oh, you're right. You're right. Yeah. I wrote honeymoon suite, but it is the fantasy suite.
Yeah, they go into the fantasy suite where they suppose they come out in the morning and they're like, we talked all night long. Like, you didn't talk. I know what happens in a fantasy suite. And then
That's their opportunity to bone when the cameras aren't on. So,
right. Yeah. They get to close. They like pour each other wine, and then the curtains close in this very like drastic way where you know you're missing the good stuff. But then after they've been vetted sexually, they go to the final rose ceremony, and then they get married. Although it's an interesting premise because a lot we can say about sexism, and I'm sure we'll get to those soapboxes later. But so if you're the bachelor, you get a ring and you get to propose to one of your lady suitors, and if you're the bachelorette, you get to keep a man suitor around, and then he can choose whether or not to propose to you. So, you know, there's some power.
Usually the season ends with a proposal, not always. But yeah, the last couple have ended in proposals, and Andy and Josh, who was the bachelorette before this last season with Chris, it ended in a proposal, and they did get married. Sean and Catherine got married.
Wait, did Andy and Josh really get married?
Yeah, they got married. They got married, and they live in Seattle.
No, I'm thinking of Andy. No.
I don't want to.
Because Andy just went on the last season of The Bachelor and was
you're right. I'm sorry, Desiree and Josh.
Okay.
Yeah.
Molly, we need to talk about your commitment to The Bachelor. You accepted the rose, but
I'm sorry. These women are so varied in their personalities and interests. That I don't know how I possibly confused the two brunettes.
Are you going to be our soul's misogynist?
No, I hate them all equally, Megan. I mean, it's not like men are really interesting.
They're really richly diverse and...
But if there is a resident misogynist, then yes, of course it's me.
Yeah, we knew that already. So what about The Bachelor is so intriguing? And I mean, some of it is that it's this real mindfuck of tradition, and essentially it's this blend of traditional values that takes place in a weird polyamorous Beltane-like love fest. You know, where one side has to both prove their, you know, the women or the men who are trying to win the hearts of the bachelor or bachelorette have to prove that they want it so bad and that they want it in this very traditional way. But they also have to do that while living in a weird poly camp, so where they have to be okay with, you know, somebody else in the fantasy suite or what have you. So, but the other piece, and I've only really, I've had a lot of discussions recently about sports ball, which, you know, sports ball Olympics is...
That's Megan's term for all sports.
Yeah, so,
sports.
But I've learned, like, that this is how I have come to bridge the distance between me and sports ball fans, is because I learned about the Montreal Screwjob recently, and... The Bachelor is just, it's sports ball. So, and it's all about the Montreal Screwjob, which if you guys don't know it was also called the Montreal Incident. But it involved wrestlers, and I'm going to screw up the sports ball terms. But there was, Bret Hart was a wrestling sportster, and he signed with a different, I think he was leaving, and, you know, I'm going to get it all mixed up. I think he was leaving the WWF for the WCW, and he was going to take the belt with him, which is basically like if you were, and I'm totally stealing these from this analogy from a friend, but it's like if you were going to, you were taking Nike's new product shoes to Adidas to like have everybody pee on them, you know? And so they were like, we got to get the belt back. And so they staged a fight where he was supposed to win. It was all staged. He was supposed to win, and he then afterwards he was going to come into the office and sort of like give the belt up graciously. But they were like, no, it can't happen that way. So they staged the fight where when he was pinned, suddenly the referee after he'd been pinned for like 2 seconds, called the fight. And so you can see on the videos, you can see Bret Hart just in this like total shock, you know, like he, because he's just been dicked over hard. And
yeah,
then you can see the crowd just being like, what the fuck? Like, so it, you know, it became known as, and then Bret Hart lost his shit on the audience. He started like, he went crazy. But it created what I believe in my, you know, my peanut gallery theory, and is that, you know, what created our desire to watch things like The Bachelor or The Bachelorette is a mix of faked and staged moments where, you know, as a member of Bachelor Nation, you're trying to watch to see which of those pieces are real and which aren't. And as, you know, wrestling fans are watching these staged things, and then they see Bret Hart, their hero, get dicked over in a way that he's never anticipated. And so it fuels you to want to be part of that crowd, because the deeper you are into Bachelor Nation, the better you can parse what's real and what's not. So I'm sorry, that was a really long theory, but that's my theory about it.
No, I think it's cool, and that's the first I've ever heard of it. When was this, in the 80s or?
Well, you know, all of my
probably
sports thing. I think it was the late 90s. I think it was like 97.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, you're right, because that was around when reality TV really exploded, like in the,
yeah,
in the 90s. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you know, like there's that, all that mix throughout where, you know, this mix of surprises and these really formulaic dates that they go on, where they'll be like, hey, look, you know, on the last season it was like, hey, Big and Rich is playing a sold out concert across the street, and I'm just gonna run across and surprise you with it. You know, and then where they'll crash a wedding or things where you're trying to figure out how much of this is staged and how much is not.
But, and I think that some people think that the Bachelor or the Bachelorette is 100% fake, but I don't think so. I mean, I think that they put these people in contrived situations, obviously, and like, you know, like a lot of it is staged, and you know, I think that probably the producers are manipulating certain moves, but I do think that these people are they're playing a character, but that character is themselves, you know, like they've helped to create that character. And the way that they're acting is, you know, how they want to present themselves. And I mean, and the facts are, like, several of the past seasons have resulted in actual marriages and actual children. So, like, I mean, I think that
like
some of them,
the kids, prove it. But at the same time, by entering into that, they also sort of agree to continue to be part of this Bachelor Nation community, you know, where they come back and they do these. So it's like their life on, it's sort of Hunger Games-esque, where they have those moments where like, well, they'll never be able to, you know, you don't get to just live your life. Like, you live this performance forever.
I mean, I think that that's their real fake personalities, if that makes sense, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of the people, like, when they're on TV, when they're on the screen, they have, like, their job underneath, and like, I'm like a waitress or an organizer or they
or
have like these silly jobs, and it's like, you're a fucking actor.
Like,
your job is a Hollywood actor, dude.
You know? The one who was a sports fishing enthusiast.
Oh yeah, that was
like,
awesome.
That's not a job, but no, I feel that. I mean, I not to be like, let's talk about me, but you know, like, going around promoting a book is sort of like that in this odd way, because it's like, I will, if I'm, like, super exhausted or I, say, have bed bugs, which maybe happen, like, you're still going up in front of people, and it's like, I'm trying to be this best version of my performed self, even when I feel like shit. And, like, I just think, you know, life, any sort of, like, interaction where you are performing becomes that way. But they're, like, it's, like, on, you know, to the nth degree for our Bachelor Nation. But
I wonder if I'm being a little bit gullible and thinking that, like, these couples have, like, had real babies. Like, maybe it is really fake, you know? Maybe.
Whoa,
maybe
you just took it to fake babies?
Maybe. I mean,
Like, they brought in an actor baby, or, like, the babies were
robot? I've been watching for the last 4 or 5 seasons. You've been watching for how many, 2 or 3? right?
Yeah.
I'm not cleared. But I remember seeing a reunion special where a couple came on and they like, you know, they got the results of their ultrasound on TV and they found out whether their baby was a boy or a girl. So it's like, I mean, like, it seemed real enough to me. They really seemed like they were married and they were having a baby. But, like, how do we know, you know? Like, I'm not. Like, I
every
seen the
time,
birth certificate.
Every time I bring something up, like, that's, like there's this once Molly had a friend that I had never, like, really seen him anywhere except but with her. And I made some joke about how he was maybe like that. The invisible teddy bear, or like some sixth sense kind of like maybe he didn't exist except in her in my mind. And she broke it down to me like, no, like I saw him at the movie theater and someone made eye contact with him. I saw him exchange money for this.
Like I thought about it. I considered the fact that maybe he was fake or like that only I could see him. That only
and I was like, you know, here I am being like, well, you know, I don't know. Maybe they live their life in the spotlight as a performance. Like those babies are robots. They're robots.
I'm in like full on conspiracy theory.
I know. Dog Hage film takes off. You become a truther for, like, the bachelor truther.
So, Megan, I should mention you and I have, like, sort of a home base in Seattle. I mean, you're always on the road, but you basically live in Seattle, and up until recently I did. And
yeah.
Chris and Desiree supposedly are married and live in Seattle. And I was, like, for a moment, I was obsessed with trying to, like, find them and see if I could walk their dog. I used to be a dog walker, and I was like, oh, my God, I want to, like, you know, like, they live here. I want to see if they're real, but I've never seen them. Maybe we should
go on a concentrated hunt. Hunt is the wrong word. We just take that one back.
Bookmark that idea. Maybe we can, you know, maybe we
special
can get
edition.
Them on the show.
Yeah. Ooh, mm-hmm. Good call.
Yeah. So what else do we like about the show? I mean, like, it's so formulaic. If you've seen one season, you've seen them all. They set them up, and they go on these super cheesy, contrived dates. They have these, we mentioned, these surprise concerts where it's like, oh, my gosh, this, like, horrible soft rock band that you've never heard of that is clearly, like, you know, getting, like, some promotion on TV is like, playing a surprise concert, and it's super,
yeah.
like, romantic.
It's interesting, too, because you don't, and I haven't looked far into this, so I hope I'm not just being categorically insulting, but it's interesting that none of the bands seem really recognizable at all, and I'm not sure. It reminds me of, like, when the L Word was first on, and, like, of course, as a young les, like, I watched it religiously, like, in bars and wherever I could get my hands on it, but they would always be like, and now the new les hit group, you know, and you're like, you felt yourself being manipulated, you know, you felt yourself being like product placed right there. And it's sort of the same thing with their music. I haven't seen, well, they had the Big and Rich episode, but similar.
I would like to think that we're not the target market for garbage music. Like
Bachelor Nation as a whole.
Oh, well, I mean, maybe we should make this distinction now. I mean, like, we watch the show, but, like, ironically, right, Megan? I mean, like, it's lame, but we're aware of it.
I watch it, like, I feel the same.
You're like,
way.
No, I'm sincere.
I live in Bachelor Nation, Molly, so I don't know why you say that. No, I think about it the same way. Like, I'm a big country music fan, but I think of The Bachelor in the same way as I do new country music, where it's either, like, funny and weird enough that it's actually good, or it's just ridiculous and brings me lots of joy, you know.
And I sort of think that over the last couple of years of The Bachelor, and this is sort of a burgeoning theory of mine, that that the show has started to sort of recognize this contingent group of people that are watching the show that are watching it sort of like to make fun of it, or like with this heightened sense of like awareness of what's going on, and they're sort of
it's the raccoon syndrome.
Yeah, I think that the show has gotten a little bit edgier over time for people like us, you know. But
for anybody who didn't, anyone who missed out on Bachelor in Paradise, which is already a more ridiculous premise where they take all of the pool of scorned Burns
Can't
lovers.
Wait.
I know. I
and don't
so
worry,
much.
We will be covering. We will be covering.
Well, I have watched gay season. So yeah, they put them all in paradise, which is really just like, you know, an exploited town in Mexico, like a tourist town. But then they just all refer to it as paradise. Where you're like, that's not its actual name. But they do this amazing. They would. Whoever's doing the producing would start kind of splicing things together where somebody would be having a breakdown and they'd pan to, like, a chattering raccoon. So it pulls the leg right out from under any, like, seriousness, and you recognize that you're supposed to laugh at it.
Completely exploits and makes fun of the people that they're making money off of, which is...
Yeah. When they did the dramatic reenactments of, like, someone falling from...
Yeah.
I mean, you gotta see it. You gotta see it. It's gonna be great, mm-hmm. but... Anyway.
Okay. Let's see. So let's move on to... we'll talk about a little bit about Chris Farmer's season this last season, because the new season of The Bachelorette, which we will be doing episodes on every week, is predicated on the last season, because someone from Chris Farmer's season will become the new Bachelorette, which we'll get to. But let's just talk a little bit about Chris Farmer. You're right, I keep calling him Chris Farmer. It's almost like that old school thing where your last name is like the name of your alleged job, but it's like he's supposed to be a farmer in Iowa and that's like made millions, but like all he is now is a TV personality. Like he must have like had a job at some point, but no more. Now he's
right. And they do this it's a very kind of like rural versus urban thing where they want to make mm-hmm. him sort of a poster child for the lost family farm in rural America. But in reality, it's like they'll pan to him just sort of like chugging along on his tractor, really quaffed, you know, like chugging along on the tractor through this field. And then to his many, you know, I admit I'm coming in without a lot of research here, but from what I know about farming in rural America, I don't think you get a six-bedroom mansion from running a family farm these days. So I don't know where he's at in it. I feel like he's got to be somewhere higher up in the administration part of things, which must, you know, sort of takes away from the mystique of it. But.
I mean, these days I think he's just working on his abs full time. Like that. You know.
I don't know. He let him go for a while when he was really just like going crazy at the bathroom.
I feel
house.
Like we watched him gain weight progressively throughout last season, because he started off Cody from a past season, who was like a personal trainer, a complete airhead, like trained him and got him all bachelor ready. Like it looked like he lost like 10 to 20 pounds from the Bachelorette season that he had been pulled from to his season of The Bachelor. Like he was tanner and fitter and like he was just ready to go. And like, but then like as the season progressed, I felt like we watched his belly get bigger, which was, I always like to see that in men.
It's not so much about his body, I would say, as the fact that he was like, you were just watching him sort of like sink deeper and deeper into this lotus eater lifestyle, this like bacchanalian orgy of like somebody was like, I'd really like to, you know, be intimate with you right now. And he's like, well, I don't know why I wouldn't, you know, like get mine. Like he had no ability to stop. He had no self-control in any measure of his life.
He was just down for everything, man. And I heard somewhere that he kissed more women than anybody else on the show, because he just never said no. Like the answer was always yes with Chris Farmer, man.
I get that, though. I get that. I saw a bit of myself in Chris Farmer, like my past self, you know.
Like, yeah, you.
I don't
you
mean.
Too. I'm saying no.
I don't mean sexually necessarily. I just mean like, it's hard to say no to people. You want to please people, and I got that about Chris. That's why I get it. You're real. Like this is one of my reasons why we're BFFs. Is like I need you do a good job about saying no to things.
Oh, I thought you meant because, like, you couldn't say no to my friendship, so, like, it's this whole thing.
No, that would be such an asshole move. No, I just mean you teach me things, Molly.
Yeah.
It
yeah, I have
strong.
A hard time saying yes. I don't like anybody, whereas you like everyone. We're a good odd couple. In that way.
Yeah. You make me stronger, and I make you weaker.
No.
Dorothy, what do you think about this? Dorothy's like, snooze.
Her eyebrows are twitching, so I think she's dreaming, but not of The Bachelor.
Oh my gosh! Well, let's do kind of a rundown of the big players on last season. I mean, you have the sort of like bottom tier that ended up being eliminated, right? There were a few. They always paved the very bottom of the barrel with a few real baddie ones, who are mostly there for like local color, I would say. So they had the woman who looked like she'd just taken, you know, 4 hits of acid before every show. But that goes back to the question of performance, of whether or not there's any reality to that. That was Ashley S., right?
Yeah, Ashley S. She was she's the one that talked to plants and just like they played zombie laser tag, which was like the best date ever, by the way. I would love to do that. I would love it.
I know. There was once when you invited me to a haunted house where they scare you into thinking they're actually going to kill you. So you're like, yeah, sounds great. I want the bachelor dates. I want to be like run a bath after somebody gives me a private concert. I don't care who plays. We had who else? Who did you really like on that season?
One person that I really liked was the other Ashley, who was the she was sort of like sort of an exotic like Middle Eastern sort of beauty that was she was like 25, 26 and she was a virgin, quote unquote, and she like wouldn't shut up about the fact that she was a virgin. I have a theory that she did a lot of anal, but
it
was a technicality when it came to her virginity, let's just say, is my theory.
But she was so symptomatic of, like, ways that I have and I feel like other people have ruined relationships in the past, where they become so fixated on, like, what one element of their personality, like, how important it's going to be and how the other person is going to react, that they essentially come off as a crazy person.
Constantly crying. She was just like, she couldn't hold it together. Like she was letting the other women really like get in her head. And she was just acting, I don't know. I liked that about her.
I really liked her a lot, but I think that it was definitely like, you're watching someone just shoot themselves in the foot over and over and be like, what's he going to think about me when he finds out about this? And then watching his reaction super, super closely. And so you could see her sort of spoil the broth, so to speak. I don't think that's an expression, but I'm using it.
Sure it is, Megan. You're a great writer.
I am an MFA.
Ashley, who wouldn't shut up about her masters, we too have masters, so suck it, Ashley.
And then there was Kelsey, the other, like, she was really intense.
Yeah, Kelsey is the other big name to talk about.
Yeah, she was a fairly recent widow, and but she kind of, the way that she presented that story, as Ashley presented her virgin story, the way she presented it really pointed to this kind of fabrication on the show, or this shtick where everybody has a story. So it's like you come in and what's your big story going to be?
What's your story,
Yeah,
I think you're right. She really sort of revealed the scaffolding of the show and the way that she presented herself. She was like, oh, isn't my story amazing? Like she presented it as an arc. And her thing was that she was, I think her job was a guidance counselor or something like that. And she was always talking about how she was like so much smarter than the other women, that she had like a bigger vocabulary than the other women. And it made her come across as just the most obnoxious, pretentious person there was. So, That was Kelsey.
And then she had like a breakdown, and they made her out to be very diabolical. There were some a couple of, I would say the ones who were cast as like girl next door sweets, like mm-hmm. Jade, who her big reveal, you know, she looked like, she seemed like she was just, you know, milk toast sweet, and then she had mm-hmm. her big story reveal was that she'd posed for Playboy, which immediately led to her aftermath because apparently that is that bucks traditional values while picking your potential wife from a group of, you know, a group of nubile women and wooing them all on camera is nothing like posing for a magazine. And then
yeah,
there was,
right. I would imagine that a good 10-20% of the women that make it on The Bachelor or The Bachelorette, like, have some history of, like, modeling and or sex work in their past. I mean,
right.
Like, that was her story, but, I mean, let's get real. I don't know.
Yeah.
I thought she was pretty and boring. She made it, she was fourth. She didn't quite make it. I think, did she get, I forget how it works. Did she get a hometown meeting? Did he meet her parents? It doesn't matter. She was boring.
No, she met his sisters, and I don't know. She seemed wonderful,
yeah,
but
remember.
It was like, I think the part that was really frustrating was, to me, the part that I found heartbreaking was, she was like, clearly had all this agency about it. She was really proud of the videos, you know, and then there was this
mm-hmm.
like public ritual of shame about it. And, you know, spearheaded
yeah.
by, like, dopey Prince Farming, who's like, I don't know, you know, like, which is, his ability to remain a scot-free sort of, you know, just hometown romantic guy. While,
yeah, and then, like,
know,
she has to, like, prove
so
herself
disgusting.
And, like, make it up, like, overly explain like her past and like sort of distance herself from it, which just was, and they really built it up too, like for a long time, like, oh my god,
right.
I have to tell him about Playboy, and then in the end he was just sort of like, okay.
Yeah, but then broke up with her and he was like, it just wasn't about
yeah.
that, you know, like, and that's another, the build up is interesting, we haven't really talked about that, but I will just say that they stretched 20 minutes of content over 2 primetime hours a week, and then during some
yeah.
weeks there's like 3 other hours. So I remember being like, fuck me. Like, I just watched 5 hours of primetime television.
Yeah, dude, it's a 2-hour
show.
And they show the same scenes over and over with like slightly different edits and takes. It's like the fucking Teletubbies for children when like they
yeah.
show like a segment twice so that children can like understand it and grasp it. That's what The Bachelor is.
Well, and but once you, on Andy season, I remember like you and I, because we were all often like not in town at the same time. And I got behind and it was like being trapped under an avalanche. Like every night I'd be like, gotta get back on top, you know. Hours and hours of content. But what, I mean, once you're in, like, you can't
I know.
Go halfway. I'm sure there are plenty of people who'd be like, you can absolutely go halfway. Like, watch a few minutes of it. But I feel like in for a penny, in for
yeah.
a pound, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, we would try to watch it together and we weren't always in sync. And it would be like, I had seen the episode or you had, and it was like, I remember I had to rewatch episodes with you, and I was just like, oh, God, no. And you're like, come on, Molly.
No, I could really talk you into it. Like, we're going to do this now. But, well, so, and
it.
Then the other big two were Britt and Caitlin. Britt was this, like, wonderful. I feel like I'd be friends with both Britt and Caitlin. Like,
I think Megan, I think we should hold off. Let's get to Caitlin and Britt in a second. Let's talk about Whitney
okay.
and Becca, and then we'll get into Caitlin and Britt. So Whitney and
okay.
Becca were the two finalists in Chris Farmer's episode. And so an interesting thing happened to me halfway through the season. I was at the grocery store and I saw on a magazine what I thought was a reveal that Becca had won the season and had married Chris. So the rest of my watching of the season was informed by this, that Becca had won the season. And I was like, oh, it's crazy. Cause like, I really thought that Whitney was like the perfect fit for Chris. Cause Whitney was like, she seemed sort of like Southern, even though she was living in Chicago and she was like down for everything. She was a fertility nurse. Like all she wanted to do was be like a wife. She was an orphan, you know, and like, she wanted to like, Chris's family was really great. So, Anyway, so my prediction was Whitney, and I thought it was going to be Becca. It didn't end up being Becca. So what do you have to say about Whitney and Becca?
I don't know. I was surprised, but I thought it was going to be Becca. Although towards the end, I thought, you know, I started to see that, like, perhaps there wouldn't be a big surprise. Like, they were, mm-hmm. it made logical sense, you know.
Like, Whitney made logical sense?
She did, but she didn't.
And I didn't reveal to you Becca, right? Like,
no, you didn't. You didn't. Like,
yeah.
Whitney made logical sense. She didn't make, like, the super magical spark sense that, like, I think people crave. Like, that would have been if
yeah.
she'd married Britt or, like, something where it's like, oh, from the first moment, you know, like, I threw all the other women out of the fantasy suite because I only had eyes for you, like, that kind of,
yeah.
you know, it sort of was like they both kind of came to an amicable agreement, you know, and I think, I don't know, I'm glad that Becca didn't win. I also, like, my theory, and granted, she is her own person somewhere out there.
I'm so excited about this, you guys. Listen up. This is brilliant.
Yeah.
I've never seen this ever anywhere else on the web, so this is a Megan exclusive. Okay, go ahead, Megan.
Well, no, she gets to, I feel like a big jerk being like, I'm going to tell you what. But, like, I saw Becca. I saw the way she interacted with Chris and with the world. I saw her reputation and her family, and I just think that she's gay. I think that, like, I saw the way that I interacted with the world before I came out, and it's just
mm-hmm.
like, oh, like, we've never seen Becca touch anyone. We've never seen Becca allow anyone into her world, and she's just never felt that way about anyone, and it's, you know, that is the kind of, like, ice freeze that you feel when you know, before you allow that part of yourself to be out in the open. And I just wanted
yeah.
to be like, I don't know, Becca, let's go down to, like, you know, how about let's go out for a minute, let's talk for a while, and, like, let me introduce you to some ladies and see if your, like, personal bubble is still so intense. And I don't know, I would put money, like, if there was money to be put on it, like, that would be my guess, is that perhaps she
because
is.
Another thing about Becca's story was that she was also a virgin. She didn't make as huge of a deal about it as Ashley, like the other Ashley, but that was part of her story as well, that she was a virgin and she'd never been in love. Like, that was
she'd never been in love. And this is my own pathos here that I'm trying to pull
mm-hmm.
on people to convince my theory, but you know, like, I remember, like, the first time that I fell in love with someone, with a woman, like, I remember having this, like, fucking breathless relief that I had the capacity to fall in love because I wasn't sure that I did. And I just don't think you get to be, however, you know, 26, 28 and not have a sense of who you could love or that exists for you. Like, if you're like, I've never been in love, I don't really know what that is. It points me to the fact that, like, I mean, either, you know, there's a lot of things that could be going on, but for her, I just thought, like, you know, you're from this, I mean, she was Midwestern as well, right? Or no, she's
yeah.
from the East Coast.
No, she was from California.
California. I don't know. I just, that's my theory, crackpot.
So, Becca, if you're listening, like, we're not trying to attack you or anything like that, but it's like, if you're having these feelings that you don't understand, just come talk to us. Come talk to Molly and Megan. We will help you through it. I will personally help you through it. Oh my God, she looked so good in that green dress at the end. Do you agree?
Yeah,
I loved that dress so much.
Yeah.
Oh, so pretty.
I really liked her, but it's like, you know, this feeling that you get.
She was kind of boring.
Really,
I mean, she was a little bland.
I just think she's closed off, you know? It's like,
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, I just wanted to know more about her. And I wanted her to, like, it's interesting. It's more intriguing that she would go on The Bachelor or do something like that, you know, where it's like, that does not merge with the person.
The most heterosexual show known to man. Right.
And also, I mean, isn't it time for some queer Bachelor episodes? Come on.
It's time for some, yeah. They had, they tried, like, that Tequila show, which I didn't really watch, that was where she was, like, bisexual and they had both men and women contestants.
Yeah,
but she was one of those, like,
different
sorority girl bisexuals, like, that she was never actually going to end up with a woman. Like, she was just like, oh, I'm up for anything, but.
Yeah, I feel like that's different. I feel like they should just totally launch a, you know, like, just launch some seasons with same-sex couples and stuff, so.
Do you think that it should be, like, exclusively, like the homosexual bachelor where it's a man and then 25 men, or, like, a woman and 25 women, or, like, some... I don't know how they would blend it. I mean, it would have to be a bisexual, bachelor.
Yeah, like, queer identified. I don't know. I think that anything... I feel like anything would be forward progress, you know?
Yeah.
By the same token, it's like, why, you know, if I'm going to invest hope in something being progressive, like, maybe I could just, I could let that dream go for a while and they can deal with it on their, you know, on their own.
Yeah. There's a certain economy to, like, this, it being, like, a super white, super hetero show, because it just makes it really neat and clean. Like, they always have like a couple of token ethnic people that are like immediately eliminated, and it almost makes it worse, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know, I remember they had like a plus size woman on Chris Farmer's on the first episode, and he was just like, no thank you. Like, immediately eliminated.
Oh, it was awful. And they like sort of pants, yeah. They cut her, like, It's a really fucked up show. I'm not gonna lie. Like, I'm curious about how it what it represents in society, but it is very fucked up, or in our, you know, in our culture, media culture. But the premise, yeah, and the execution is terribly, terribly, terribly askew and fucked up. But anyway,
but we're gonna celebrate it every week.
I don't have any excuse for us, Molly, but I never have. So, okay. No, that's why I got to learn how to be stronger. Okay, so what else?
Let's talk about Caitlin and Britt.
Okay, Caitlin and Britt, so they were the final two, right? No, they weren't the final two, I'm sorry.
No. Britt got eliminated.
Eliminated. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, Britt got eliminated early on because she was sort of, it was this he said, she said, or she said, she said kind of thing, where she went to Iowa and said, you know, it really boiled down to this moment where she'd expressed doubts to the other women and they kind of paddled on her, and there were some questions about her real dedication. So,
yeah. If you ever express for, like, one single fucking second for a single minute that, like, maybe you have doubts about anything about, like, The Bachelor or marrying him forever, then you're immediately ostracized by every other woman and shunned and possibly, like bullied off the show. But she said something about how she maybe, like, didn't want to live in Iowa, like, when they went to visit the hometown. She was like, I don't know about this place. But then she, like, backtracked. But, like, it was, you know, that was enough for Carly, one of the catty women, to, like, attack her. But the other thing about Britt was, like, what was it? She was, she gave free hugs in California. She didn't shower, but, like, she certainly looked like she showered, and she slept in her makeup. So.
She looked gorgeous. I loved her red lipstick. But.
Didn't you hate her at first? I thought that you were like, oh, free hugs. Like, I don't like her. I can't remember.
I was. I think I felt threatened by our similar ethos of kindness, of overt kindness. So.
That's funny.
And like flipping a mean heart. But, yeah. And then Caitlin, my girl Caitlin, she was sort of like, she was a foul mouth. Like, she came up to Chris during the opening where they get out of the limo, and she was like, I'd like to plow your field or something.
She said,
like,
I'd like to... Or, like, I'd like to you to fucking plow my field. She said the word fuck, that, and it got bleeped out. It was like,
oh,
whoa.
Okay.
Yeah, it was crazy.
The problem with her was she dated someone vaguely famous before. There was this question of whether or not she was, like, this star fucker, you know, and what her motives are. Are they pure, you know, because that's always the question, which it's a catch-22, because just by virtue of going on the show, your motives can't be pure. Because otherwise, like, you'd just go to, like, Farmers Only, right? Like, you would not go.
That's a really good point.
Yeah. So I think, but I just liked her. She had this really, I just thought she was a cool girl. I'd like to be her friend. Caitlin, are you
And
out
she
there?
Was, Yeah, and she was eliminated third, and she had pretty much done everything right on the show. You know, she had presented herself as someone who was completely into Chris. She let herself be vulnerable, all of these things. It really seemed to me like they were grooming her to be the next Bachelorette. So when she got eliminated third, I was like, well, that's it. It's going to be her.
Yeah.
You know, she's really well-rounded. Like, she's beautiful. Her, Caitlin and Britt, I had a hard time telling apart because they're both beautiful in, like, the exact same way. They're both super skinny and, like, you know, have long brown hair and... But
Britt is blonde, bro.
Whose hair is blonde?
Britt.
It's like highlights. I guess. Yeah. Fine. The hair is the only way I can tell them apart because Britt has long hair and I'm like autistic. I'm like, it's not a train. I don't understand it.
Oh my god. But yeah. So Caitlin was taken aback by her. She was taken aback by her elimination. It was a big surprise.
I kind of thought that was, like, I'd like to thank the Academy. Because in that moment, I think that she was like, oh, God, no, I'm being eliminated. Bummer. Now I'm going to be the next Bachelorette. Like, that was my thought.
It's like a Montreal screw job.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Seriously, maybe we can get some sports ball endorsements or something. But I think one of the things that we didn't bring up that's important to say about Caitlin and Britt is that there has been this big kind of upheaval because the producers have changed the premise of the next Bachelorette season, which is that instead of just choosing a Bachelorette, they are now bringing two Bachelorettes in, and on the first episode, mm-hmm. the dudes get to vote about who would make the best wife, essentially,
which is fucking crazy. And they brought them on so they revealed this at the last After the Rose, like, episode of last season. They brought out Britt and Caitlin. They came out holding hands and, like, they're like, oh, and Chris the host, who I'm sure we'll get into over the next seasons or episodes, but so Chris was like, so what do you guys think about the fact that, like, we're pitting you two against each other like wild dogs? And, like, Britt and Caitlin are like, we don't love it. Like, it's not that awesome. Like, they're just, like, really open with the fact that, like, the show is just, like, doing this really mean thing to them.
Yeah, super fucked up.
It's super fucked up.
And it's interesting, too, because you and I have different predictions about – I am my girl Kate all the way. Like, because, and here are the reasons why, is that I think she demonstrated what the premise that the show needs from her, like this ideal of, you know, she was this sort of crazy, fun, free spirit, but over the course of the show, she suddenly made the transformation to, like, I want to settle down, I want to be a wife, and that was the question that was held up about her early on, and by the end, it was, like, by being eliminated in the final three, it was, like, her eating crow, or, like, it was her having to swallow the, I'm using all these weird metaphors, I don't know why, but it was her, like, having to swallow the bitter pill of having not wanted it bad enough soon enough, and now she's, like, she's scorned, she's humbled, she's shamed, and now I think she's going to get another chance, because it's, like, oh, she was the cool girl, party girl, but now she just wants to be a good wife and have babies.
Wow. I mean, I agree with everything that you said. And I think that probably, like, if we're doing Vegas odds, that she's the most producible choice. The only thing that makes me question is the fact that the way that it's set up is that the men are going to, like, choose who it is based on their roses. They're going to, like, you know, cast a ballot. And I think that Britt is really sexy. I think that she's, you know, got long hair and she's a free spirit. And I think that so Caitlin is sort of like the traditional, like, good choice for the show. She's sort of like a Desiree Andy character, wherein that she's really well-rounded and, like, she's sort of, like, I think that she'll appeal to a lot of people. And Britt is a more of a wild card, like, because on Britt's journey through the show, she was sort of controversial, you know, like, not all the women loved her. Like, she, like, you know, cried and possibly lied and was kicked off. So I was actually surprised that they were even considering her. to be the Bachelorette. So I think that it, honestly, I think that you're probably right and it probably will be Caitlin, but I'm kind of almost hoping for Britt because I think it might be a more interesting season with her.
I could get behind that it would be interesting.
I mean, we're going to get behind whoever it is. What are we going to do? Stop watching?
Really take us over. I know, the wheels really fall off then. The other thing, though, is that Britt now has this letter, this scarlet letter of sorts on her that she is probably still in love with Chris. You know, probably been broken, and I think that is.
Megan, you'd be shocked how quickly they will just abandon that shit. Chris Farmer told Annie that he was in love with her. He was eliminated third, I think. You know, and it's just like, oh, whatever, not anymore. You know, same thing with Desiree. Same thing with all of them. I mean, Caitlin said that she was in love with Chris Farmer, and it was just like, never mind. So that's not a factor. They will turn on a dime. I mean, Desiree in her season, she was in love with Brooks the whole time. Brooks broke up with her, and like a week later, she's like, I was just confused, and I want to marry Chris. I think his name was. So you'd be shocked.
Or maybe not.
Dorothy, what do you think? Dorothy? Yeah, nothing.
I don't know. Dorothy can sometimes seem like she's not invested in the podcast.
I feel like she's really not pulling her weight. Maybe
we should talk tonight.
Maybe should what?
I think you should have a talk with her.
Okay, well, maybe when she wakes up. She's not even responding to her name right now.
Okay.
Man. All right. Well, Megan, we've been talking for almost an hour now. Are you ready? Do you want to go into our final segment?
After the Rose Masterpiece Theater.
Okay. So for this episode, we're going to pull from the archives. This is a segment from season 8, season 7. I'm not sure. It was Sean and Catherine's season. And this is before Megan started watching, but Sean was a bachelor from Dallas, and he ended up marrying the girl from Seattle. But so the woman that was first runner up was Lindsay. And this is a transcript of the conversation that they had when they really started to when Sean really started to look at Lindsay as a viable option. So Megan and I are going to perform this dialogue that they had together, and obviously I'll be playing the part of Sean, and then we'll be playing
obviously.
The part of Lindsay. I'm like, obviously. Look, dude, you know how it is. I think they all know how it is.
I know. Our roles, our gender roles are really specific in our relationship.
I mean, you're the gay one, but I'm the man, so.
I know. It's always been so.
Okay. Okay. All right. So, start the scene. I am Sean, and scene. I know you said you're an army brat, but there's so much I don't know about you, so.
Yeah, my parents are still together. They've been together for forever. My dad's a general in the army, so.
Wow.
It's crazy, you know, it's awesome. But when my parents do have that time together, they make it count.
Yeah, I love that. I'm all about family, and it's really refreshing.
You are?
Yeah, I love family.
That's awesome.
I can't imagine how it's going to feel when I have my own kids and a wife.
It's just something that I want more than anything. I want more than anything to marry my best friend and have a family and just give them everything.
Yeah.
Everything, yeah.
And scene.
Yay. I can really see myself falling in love with you.
I know, right? We have so much in common. Like, imagine meeting a woman in her 20s that, is interested in, a kids and a wife. Like, where would I ever have found such a woman if not to go on a reality show and set her out and find her? This is, one in a million.
Oh my god.
Lindsay was a substitute teacher, and I swear to God, she would always say, I take this very serious, She was always saying, like, I really do take this serious. And I'm like, it's fucking seriously, you bitch. Like, you better be a substitute gym teacher, because otherwise, like, I don't want you teaching my children. Like, oh, my God. She was so dumb.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Okay. Any final thoughts?
Next week we really kick it off. Next week we're going to have so much to talk about.
I'm so fucking excited. We're going to watch the premiere episode where the 25 men get out of that limo and meet Britt and Caitlin.
Gosh.
It's a real game changer. We'll have some predictions. We'll take a look at all these men, and like, they're not going to start wearing scarves yet because it's formal wear, but man, I can't wait when the men start dressing casual, because dude, I'm just like, I can't contain my excitement. It's going to be so good. All right. So Megan, what are you up to? Where can we find you?
Well, I am currently on the last couple weeks of my book tour for my novel Call Me Home, which is out from Hawthorne in Portland, Oregon. You can find out more at MeganNicoleCruz.com. That's Megan, M-E-G-A-N, Nicole, N-I-C-O-L-E, Cruz, K-R-U-S-E.com. And right now I'm in San Francisco, and I'm at Book Soup in L.A. on next, and then after that in Las Vegas. So,
Great. And let's see, you can find me at MollyLeach.com. That's Molly, L-A-I-C-H.com. We'll put this in the show notes as well. My film blog is DogHatesFilm.com. I write movie reviews at the Missoula Independent. And you can find me on Twitter at Molly L. So it's just the name Molly L. And are you on Twitter, Megan?
Yeah, it's at Megan N. Cruz.
Megan N. Cruz. Okay, great.
Yeah.
So from Bachelor Nation of Three, I guess we'll include Dorothy, even though she's dead. We'll see.
Yeah. Where's Molly? Just one question before we sign off.
Yes.
Will you accept this rose?
I just wanted to keep you waiting, girl. Of course, yes. That's what shows.
Oh,
yeah, pin it on my lapel, dude.
Always.
Right. I love you, Megan.
I love you too.
Okay,
bye,
until
Dorothy.
Next time.
I love you, Dorothy. Goodbye. Don't say anything if you love me back. Okay, bye.
Yep, she's snoring, so she doesn't love you. And cut.